The night was lit by the pup, casting a silvery moon glow over the tall, silent trees and the round, white domes of the camp.
"Good evening, my friends," said Audrey, his thin voice carrying through the shadows. "It's good to see you all once more."
As his brother had done with Elise, Jordan held out a hand to Aditi. She came to him and clasped it warmly. But Brandon said sharply, "We need some answers from you, Audrey."
"Of course. I'll be glad to tell you anything I can."
Defia said, "Let's go over to the geology lab. The computer should be finished with the profile by now."
"By all means," said Audrey.
As they started toward the tent, Jordan whispered to Aditi, "I missed you." Her smile lit up the landscape.
"I missed you, too."
Defia led the little procession through the camp's bubble tents to the geology lab. Jordan noticed that Meek walked several paces behind Audrey, with Longyear beside him. Both men wore tight-lipped expressions, taut with hostility. Brandon walked alongside Elise, of course, chatting happily with her, nearly oblivious of the others. Once in the geology tent, Defia called up his computer's profile of the planet's structure, while Audrey sat on one of the stools lining the work table. The others clustered around the table, looking expectantly at the computer's big flat display screen.
"As you know," Defia said, his round, beard-fringed face utterly serious, "we've been digging boreholes at several locations."
"To determine the structure of this planet, I presume," Audrey said.
Defia went on,
"And we've hit an anomaly."
A wisp of a smile appeared on Audrey's age-creased face.
"An anomaly?"
The display screen lit up, showing a graph that depicted a cross-section of the planet's structure. The metal layer appeared in blazing red at the 14-kilometer depth. Below it was nothing but a dull gray, indicating that the deeper structure of the planet was unknown.
Defia began, "There seems to be a layer of polished metal."
"At a depth of 14 kilometers,"
Audrey interrupted.
"Yes, that is correct."
"It can't be natural."
"It's not."
Jordan felt his breath catch in his throat. Meek looked like a prosecutor who's just heard his suspect confess. Longyear looked angry, almost, Defia stunned despite his previous attitude. Even Thornberry's usual quizzical smile was gone, replaced by a suspicious scowl. Brandon snapped,
"You know about this?"
"Yes, of course," said Audrey.
They clustered around him, as taut and stressed as a lynch mob. "All they need is a rope," Jordan thought. Brandon asked,
"There's a shell of metal 14 clicks deep."
"Yes."
"All around the planet?"
"Yes,"
said Audrey, as if it was the most natural thing in the universe.
"Of course. It's the structural base for New Earth's crust and biosphere."
Meek found his voice.
"Look here. Are you telling us that the upper layers of this planet have been landscaped? You've deliberately shaped this upper section of the planet, this entire biosphere?"
In a placatingly calm voice, Audrey replied,
"New Earth has been constructed to resemble your world as closely as possible."
"Constructed?"
Longyear squeaked. Audrey's smile turned slightly rueful.
"We had no intention of deceiving you, my friends. Our policy has been to allow you to discover the truth at your own pace."
Jordan said, "Are you telling us that this entire planet has been built, deliberately constructed to resemble Earth?" With a nod, Audrey said,
"And placed close enough to your world so that you would find us and come to examine us."
Elise gasped,
"Red Sirius."
"What?"
"Naked eye observations of Sirius made more than 2,000 years ago, around the time of Christ," she said, almost breathless. "They reported that the star had turned red."
Audrey said, shamefaced,
"I'm afraid that was due to the construction operation," he admitted. "I'm sorry if it confused your astronomers."
"You constructed this planet?" Meek asked in obvious disbelief. "This entire planet? You built it?"
"Not I," said Audrey. "Our predecessors did."
Meek said,
"But why? How?"
Audrey glanced at Aditi, then turned back to Meek and explained.
"Our race is much older than yours. Our technology, as you've seen for yourselves, is considerably in advance of yours."
"Then you do have spaceflight," Thornberry said. "You're not from this planet. You came from somewhere else."
"Our civilization does have the capability for spaceflight,
yes," Audrey said.
"But we, Myself, Aditi, all the others you have seen here on this world, we have lived on this planet since our conception. We have never been anywhere else.
But to build an entire planet, Jordan objected, it's fantastic. Who built it? Brandon demanded. If you and your people have been born here, then who the hell built this planet?
Our predecessors, said Audrey.
Your ancestors?
Our predecessors, Audrey repeated.
Why would they do such a thing? Meek demanded again. What's the purpose of it all?
Why, to bring you here. To encourage you to make contact with us.
Frowning, Brandon said, wouldn't it have been easier for you to come to Earth and announce your presence?
And what would your reaction be if suddenly a starship appeared in your skies? Even if we beamed messages to you instead of sending a starship, your world would be in turmoil, wouldn't it?
Jordan almost chuckled. Glancing at Meek, he said, there are plenty of people on Earth who'd be terrified, true enough.
What would you do?
Audrey repeated. Meek answered, why, we'd try to ascertain who you are, of course, and what you want. With a sad shake of his head, Audrey replied,
the shock of such a meeting would be traumatic for you. Why, even now on Earth there are people who claim there can be no other intelligent races in the universe.
So we have a few benighted fanatics, Thornberry said.
They deny the possibility that the indigenous life in Jupiter's ocean could be intelligent,
Audrey pointed out.
The Leviathans, Elise murmured.
Audrey went on.
We have studied your history very thoroughly. We have seen the dreadful consequences of sudden contact between two of your own cultures.
Longyear muttered, wounded knee.
And 100 other tragedies, said Aditi. The Aztecs and Incas, the Polynesians, even the Chinese went through centuries of exploitation and humiliation. That is why, Audrey resumed, we decided to make our contact with you as gentle as possible. We did not go to your planet and announce ourselves. Instead, we encouraged you to come here, to us.
You lured us here, said Meek.
If you wish to use that term, Audrey replied gently. The point is that only a small group of you has come here, as we expected. And we have allowed you to discover the truth about us in your own time, at your own pace.
Turning once again to Meek, he added,
and even so, we face suspicion, hostility, and outright fear.
Jordan said, you're telling us that we have nothing to be afraid of.
Oh, no, said Audrey. You have much to be afraid of, and so do we.
Culture shock. What do you mean by that? Meek demanded.
Audrey hesitated and replied, contact between two intelligent cultures is fraught with dangers.
You've contacted other intelligent species? Brandon asked.
Not I personally, said Audrey. None of us has ever been beyond this planet, but our predecessors, our progenitors, over the course of the millennia, they have come into contact with many civilizations.
Jordan blurted, there are lots of civilizations among the stars.
Audrey shook his head sorrowfully. Intelligence is the rarest occurrence in the universe, I'm afraid. And even at that, in so many cases, an intelligent species destroys itself before it can attain true self-mastery.
Brandon said, but we've seen no evidence of any intelligent races in the galaxy until now. We've searched for almost 2 centuries, and our telescopes haven't turned up anything.
As I said, Audrey replied, intelligence is very rare. However, the universe is very large, and there are many intelligent civilizations scattered among the stars.
Intelligent species destroy themselves, Jordan asked.
Unfortunately, that seems to be the norm. It's very rare for an intelligent species to survive long enough to achieve true civilization.
Thornberry pushed to Audrey's side. So that's why you're here? To help us to survive our own shortcomings?
Audrey hesitated for several long moments, staring into Thornberry's questioning eyes. At last he answered, yes, that is part of our purpose.
Jordan caught the nuance, but only part of it.
It's as much as I can tell you for the moment.